Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. It's a real pleasure to have you here. This is Jim Masters, your host, and we thank you for making us a part of your day at this point. It's, again, always a pleasure to have you tuned in from all around the world. Also a pleasure to continue our series of conversations with author Barry I. Gold. Barry is a retired scientist who studied pharmacology and is passionate regarding the opioid addiction crisis, and he's offering his perspective on the growing usage of cannabis and things of that nature with a book that is a proposal titled Hemp, Rope, and Smoke. In addition, he is also the author of two other books, We're Overdosed, which we've talked about in previous conversations on this series, and the upcoming book Boomer Dad, A Lifetime of Endurance, Resilience, and Disconnection. That'll be released later this year in 2024. Because he started the book, We're Overdosed, by discussing the history of opium and where it came from. And this includes how heroin was invented. He's trying to advance opiate education overall. While Barry has made the painstaking effort to educate others about opiates, he also embraces the challenges of fatherhood at an advanced age, as he is a baby boomer. And being a single parent of a 15-year-old, in addition to two other older children, 49 and 47, from a previous marriage, he's in the process of writing that book, Boomer Dad, A Lifetime of Endurance, Resilience, and Disconnection. We'll keep you posted on that, too, when it's out and available. He says being the father of a 15-year-old son, while having its joys, also has its concerns. And Barry cites that 14% of high school freshmen, of which most are the ages between 14 and 15, have already sampled marijuana. To address the growing use of marijuana, he's in the process again of writing the book titled Hemp, Rope, and Smoke. Much like opioid addiction, growing marijuana usage, he says, is a public health issue, and not to politicize it as well. And you see a lot of people are, you know, partaking, and there's a lot of the vaping, and all of that has increased as well. Talk about all this and so much more, again, with retired scientist and author Barry I. Gold, joining us from Oakland, New Jersey today as we continue the series on Close Up Radio Live. Barry, welcome back to Close Up Radio Live. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you and our listeners. And I am pleased to report that Boomer Dad is complete and being edited as we speak.
Congratulations. I know that's been near and dear to your heart. We'll definitely include that in the conversation coming up. Maybe we can recap for our listeners briefly, or for anybody listening that's new who hasn't heard the previous episode or two, maybe you can explain your background and the work that you do and what led you up to the work that you're doing now?
Interesting question. My background. I have a BS in zoology from the University of Cincinnati, and it's the one and only time I lived in the Midwest. 3 years after I took my bachelor's degree, I enrolled in graduate school at Boston University at their medical school because it was the Department of Pharmacology. 4 years later, I was awarded a PhD in pharmacology, but I missed graduation because I had begun a postdoctoral fellowship at Yale. And that postdoctoral fellowship, they wanted to deny me because I didn't yet have my degree. So I got a letter from BU and said, oh, no, we're going to award it. And that was awarded in January the following year and mailed to me. So I missed graduation twice. And I ended up spending 3 years at Yale in the psychiatry department because my advisor at the time had a joint appointment in pharmacology and psychiatry. So I met a lot of psychiatrists, and I ended up working heavily in what's called neuropharmacology, the pharmacology of the brain and the pharmacology of the human nervous system. From Yale, I took a faculty appointment at what was a new medical school at the time called the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences. And it's in Bethesda, Maryland, and it's sponsored by the Department of Defense to train military physicians, but I was a civilian. So I taught pharmacology there for 6 years. I did not achieve tenure because I didn't publish enough, and I left the academic world and went to work in the pharmaceutical industry. And that's a short history of my education. I call it my over-education.
Well, you certainly, if you didn't publish enough then, you have been certainly making up for that with the publishing that's occurring in your life right now. Maybe you can also explain. Yeah, that's the thing. one of the things, too, is we're overdosed, which I think is a very important and impactful and a book that should be on the coffee table of many homes. Tell us the book, the idea of it, the premise, and what we're overdosed is all about, again, as we recap some of the incredible conversations.
Well, We're Overdosed began life as a history of opium. And I read widely in the history of drugs. I don't know why. I wasn't very good at history in high school, but it fascinates me. And I realized that the history of opium might not be widely sold. So I began to drill in, as I call it, or burrow in, and I found that the story of opium and the opioid drugs, and by definition, an opiate is a drug that comes from a morphine poppy or an opiate poppy, and an opioid drug is one that comes from a chemistry laboratory, and it just means opiate-like. And I found that by expanding the book, I was absolutely fascinated. And 4 years later, I had a book. It took me that long to write, along with some life changes that were going on at the time, which I won't get into. But that is how the book started and how it ended. And what I ended up doing, and I was completely unprepared for the attention the book has received.
Really amazing. And now you've completed Boomer Dad, a lifetime of endurance, resilience, and disconnection. Tell us about that, and congratulations on fulfilling that promise you made to yourself to write and have that book published.
Interesting question. One of my readers, a retired college professor of English, said to me, "You ought to write a memoir. Very few people at your age have been to India, Mexico, U.S., and worked in academics as well as the pharmaceutical industry. What were you doing in India?" So I wrote a memoir and described my life. The subtitle summarizes it: A Lifetime of Resilience, Endurance, and Disconnection. What do I mean by resilience? I found throughout my life that any time I was knocked down by health, social circumstances, professional failure, anything, I got back up and fought back. Case in point, 25 years ago, at the young age of 52, I had a heart attack, a massive heart attack, and I underwent open heart surgery, a procedure called CABBAGE, coronary artery bypass graft. I said it's pronounced like the vegetable in coleslaw.
Yeah, right.
And 3 weeks after my open heart surgery, I went snorkeling in Mexico because I was managing internationally and I wanted to get my team together and do some team building exercises. So I took them snorkeling, and while I was snorkeling, I looked down, and I saw a fish feeding on the bottom, a barracuda, and I thought, you know what, you're stupid, get out of the water. Don't become fish food. So that that ended that. But the point is, I didn't let that health consequence stop me. I just barged ahead, however wisely. Mm-hmm. But I barged ahead. I always barge ahead. I never look back.
That's so important, right? And you've got to do that to get things done. And one of the things is the focus on the issues surrounding the opiate crisis. And you've discussed your experiences as the boomer-aged father of the 15-year-old. Tell us about this passion and interest you have for really tackling this opiate crisis and the ways, shapes, and forms that you are.
Interesting question as well. How did I become interested in addiction phenomena? And I look back at my history, and my PhD dissertation was on alcoholism. And I thought, I've been interested in the addiction phenomena since graduate school, at least. Do I know why? No, I don't. It just fascinates me. And I find myself becoming the only voice nationally. As I work on yet another book on marijuana, I find that marijuana is in the news regularly, and yet opiates are never in the news. And that bothered me. So I wrote a book about it and beat my chest a little bit and said, hey, folks, come on. This is a major public health problem. We're killing 110,000 people a year through fentanyl overdose. And it just bothers me that Americans are dying because of a public health issue.
Yeah, right. That's very, very true.
You know, Boomer Dad describes my ability to get back up after failure. The fact that I have endurance, hell, I'm in my late 70s and I'm still writing and still working daily. And disconnection, well, I've suffered two divorces. I went through two disruptions in my personal life and lost two sets of in-laws. So I ended up what could have been isolated in my later years. And lo and behold, I ended up with residential custody of my son. And I met a woman 3 weeks after my marriage broke up, and I moved into my own place. And we've been together 5 years now. And her sister, I call my surrogate in-law, calls me weekly just to chat. So I have a new family.
Fantastic. You've got a new family, right? Exactly. Which is a beautiful thing and something you couldn't have definitely scripted, that's for sure. You know, I mentioned the growing marijuana usage and the peaking of your interest through this, that 14% of high school freshmen have already sampled marijuana. Why do you not only what piques your interest, but it's a fascinating question just overall that I've been thinking about. What is the resurgence of interest in it? I know when always people talk about drugs, a lot of times they think of the 60s and Woodstock and that whole period. What is it where it's sort of becoming, there's a resurgence where you'll have high school kids and anybody any age doing it, on it, taking it. Is there a lot of sorrow and unrest, pain and disillusionment, confusion in our world right now?
Well, I term it loneliness because we are becoming a world of people who do not communicate with each other. We stare at our phones. We go to dinner and sit at a dinner table in a restaurant and stare at our phones and send email. Well, that's not communication.
No.
So we're isolated from each other by our own technology. And not only are we isolated, but we end up lonely. And I believe it's loneliness that forces people to take drugs that give them a euphoria, like marijuana, that raises their spirits and says, I feel wonderful despite the garbage that's going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
Is that an oversimplification? Very likely. But it's still a model that can be tested. So I tell
Absolutely,
people in my
yeah.
book, in my memoir, I say, get out and meet people. Go to a meeting. Go to a parade. Be among a crowd. Go ride the New York subway on a Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
But be with other people.
Yes, get out there and right, communicate and be a part of life, because life doesn't wait for anybody and the clock doesn't go backwards exactly. So are there pros and cons of marijuana? You know, we've been leaning a little bit about just the usage of it, but are there pros and specific cons and addiction and you know, cannabis use disorder and things of that nature? Tell us about some of that.
Yeah. It all goes back to the curious state of marijuana legally in the country. Up until this year, marijuana was a Schedule I substance, according to the Drug Enforcement Administration. What's a Schedule I substance? A substance that has no medical use and a danger in misuse. And what's on that list? Heroin, LSD, and marijuana. Well, isn't that interesting? Because half the states, 24 of the states in this country, have legalized marijuana for recreational use. New Jersey, my own state, has legalized it, and there's a vape shop down the hill from me. I could walk to it. Well, what is that telling us? Number one, it's telling us that federal law isn't catching up with public feeling, public point of view. One could say, should it? Well, yeah, it should. It should reflect public point of view because we live in a democracy. But at the same time, is the public point of view wrong? No, not necessarily. Now, what's cannabis use disorder? Something like 3% of users, and that's either people who eat the THC candy or smoke dope, exhibit something called cannabis use disorder. And what does that mean? That means without the marijuana, they become agitated. They want the next dose. They want to smoke a joint or eat a gummy. Well, that sounds a lot like a withdrawal reaction. So cannabis use disorder needs further study. But the curious legal status of marijuana prohibits the National Institutes of Health from granting money to research organizations to study it. And I said, this isn't right. So I said, all right, let's, in my new book, I said, let's have wealthy people stop supporting Channel 13, PBS on TV, and start supporting medical research. But that's the strange case of marijuana. We've always been taught it's not addicting. And yet 3% of people exhibit cannabis use disorder, which looks a lot like an addiction. So I don't know what's going on there because it hasn't been studied enough. And that's my position. It hasn't been studied enough.
The other thing they need to do is stop following the Kardashians and all that superficial nonsense that everybody gets wrapped up in, and, you know, the Instagram photos and trying to copy what everybody else does and just worried about living other people's lives as opposed to looking in the mirror and focusing on making their lives better.
Yeah, well, that's almost a theological description of how Americans operate. We're very interested
right.
in how you behave, but we're not interested in how I behave. Well,
correct.
That's backward. I shouldn't be interested in how you behave or how a gay person marries someone. I don't care. It's not my business.
Right.
My business is me.
Exactly right. And, yes.
And we haven't learned that as a society.
Now,
we are still worried about it.
Now, with that curiosity that you have, tell us your experience the time that you tried edibles.
Well, the woman I date and I did a trip about a year and a half ago to upstate New York. And on the way there, we stopped for lunch. And next door to the luncheon place was a vape shop. We used to call it a head shop. And I described it as having hookahs standing at attention in the window. And I said, let's go in there and poke around. And we went in and poked around, and I asked the owner, what do you have this THC? And he showed me his cabinet in front of him, his glass cabinet. And he said, in here, all Delta 9 THC, the bottle up off the counter. I said, how about this stuff? He said, oh, that's Delta 8. I said, what's the difference between Delta 8 and Delta 9? I know what it is chemically, but what is it in terms of action? He said, the same thing. You want it? It's $39. So I paid him for the candy. And we each took a piece. And within an hour, I was so dizzy that I wanted to, pardon the high school expression, barf.
You're right. Up, Chuck.
And I couldn't figure out, why am I dizzy from a THC candy? This doesn't make any sense. So I said, hey, let's try this again. And a week later, we were on Kathy's couch where it was safe to drive.
Yeah.
And I said, let's try that dope candy again. And she gave me a piece, and an hour later, I was dizzy again and ready to throw up. So I did a little reading, and said the side effect of Delta 8 dosage is nausea. And I thought, oh, okay, that explains it.
Right.
So I don't go near dope candy anymore. And plus, my cardiologist gives me enough drugs to keep me alive. I'm not going to threaten that.
Exactly. Yeah. You tried, you learned, you were curious, and then that's that. Tell us about the book that you're currently writing, Hemp and Smoke.
I have my edited proposal into my agent. I'm looking for her to sell it so I can continue work on it. Hemp, Rope, and Smoke, what's hemp? Hemp is marijuana. And people don't realize that the hemp seeds you can buy at your local hardware store will grow up a plant that looks just like marijuana. So then they say, well, what's the difference between hemp and marijuana? And it's a definition that includes the presence of the drug known as THC, which is the psychoactive drug in marijuana. And hemp has less than 0.3% by weight THC. And marijuana has over 10 times as much THC. And I found a variety sold by a company, I can't remember if they're in New Jersey or New York, 28% THC by weight. And I'm looking at that saying, that stuff is dynamite. Those of us who grew up in the 60s look at that and say, I'm not going near that. That'd blow the top of my head off.
Yeah, right, exactly. So this, is there a target date for the release of this book?
I haven't written it yet. It's going to take me about a year and a half to write it.
About a year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
it's only in proposal format right now. And that
I
is
tell
what
you,
I'm
you're,
working on.
You are on a roll. We really, really are.
Therapeutic. I'm overeducated. So what do overeducated do? People do. They teach and they write.
You have to share it, right? You have to share it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is a great thing to do because it's needed. If you or someone you know is addicted to opioids, marijuana, or any drug, what should they do from your perspective? Where should they go?
Well, if they want to get clean, to go is a drug rehab, rehabilitative medicine. And the problem is, of course, there aren't a lot around, and very few of them are public. They all require payment. Would your insurance pay for it? I don't know. That's not my field. I don't understand insurance. I'm lucky to get a tooth filling paid for.
Yes, right. Right.
So
yeah.
The first stop is a drug rehab. Well, what happens in a drug rehab? Well, if it's opiates, they're going to be taken off the opiates and given a drug known as Suboxone. Well, what does Suboxone do? Well, Suboxone blocks the desire to take the drug and blocks the withdrawal from the drug so the patient can live freely, drug-free, for the term he or she is in the drug rehab. And what happens after drug rehab? Something called aftercare. And that's where most people fail, because aftercare includes Narcotics Anonymous. It could include a church. It could be a synagogue, a mosque, anything that people look at you and say, listen, I've been strung out too, and I want to stay clean, and I want you to stay clean. And that's all that aftercare involves, is constant reinforcement.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can Google all of these destinations.
Right, exactly. If folks do want to learn more and learn more about the books and things of that nature, they can go to BarryGoldWriter.com. That's BarryGoldWriter.com to learn more. Barry, these series of conversations are not only eye-opening, but very inspiring and important. And as you share in such an authentic way, in an open way, in a very empowering way, your journey, the things you've been through in your own life, and combining that with your expertise and your curiosity, finding ways to inform and inspire others through your work. I think it's fantastic. Thanks, as always, for joining us on the show. And I hope you enjoyed the time with me, as I definitely have with you. These half hours go by so fast.
It was enjoyable for me, and I enjoy talking to you, Jim. You and I have met several times now. And I will continue my work. That's what I'm doing
now.
Keep
us posted, and yes, keep us posted, and hopefully we'll chat some more down the line. And you be well, Barry. And again, thanks so much for joining us on the program. Again, folks, you can go to BarryGoldWriter.com to learn about the books and other things that he's working on, which is extraordinary. We are honored to have retired scientist and author Barry I. Gold here on our show, Close Up Radio Live. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time till next time, inviting you to stay right there. I'll be back in just a few minutes with another fascinating guest from around the world here on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, follow us. Have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.